Oh, hello, hello. Should be on. I think I can hear myself. Kind of shaky right now. That was fantastic. Fantastic. And it's just the beginning of what we get to see today. Man. I know, I was told, as I knew, that the Christmas play wasn't much of a, was different. So I was like, I was kind of hesitant. Like, what's going to happen? But they never cease to amaze, as they say. Anyways, welcome to Colorado Christian Fellowship. If you are visiting, welcome. If you are always here for Christmas, it's nice to see you. My name is Stefan, not pastor just yet, but I do the work, but I'm definitely not a pastor yet. But I'm learning to be a pastor. So I have the pleasure of speaking with you on this Christmas Eve, and this is quite an honor to be speaking on Christmas Eve as we look to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, yes. So, let's just get into it. So, Christmas. Christmas has varied feelings, contradicting feelings. You have my daughter who's 4 years old, and she is overly excited about gifts, as she should be. I remember when I was that age, I was overly excited. My mom and everyone else who provided for our family, like, gave us too much almost as I'm looking back at it. And I was just, I was not always the greatest in receiving gifts. I was never happy, per se. But you have some children who are excited and happy and are looking forward to Christmas morning where they're able to receive that present from Santa or whoever, from Jesus, whatever people say at home. Santa's still alive and well in my heart, whatever. I know as you get older, you realize whatever. But anyways, yes, what? Exactly who? Anyways. But at the same token, working in the school district, there's kids, the Christmas gift they get is a chocolate bar. So you have my daughter who's getting great gifts because I've seen them. And then you have other children in this world, in Surrey, that are getting nothing compared to what my daughter's getting and my son's getting. And then you look at other children, look at families in this world. So I have a friend, and I talked about it last time I was up here speaking. His mom got very sick, and she actually passed away last week. So they get to do Christmas without mommy, without the mom of the house. That's hard. That's incredibly hard. But on the same side, you have other families where there's a lot of happiness, a lot of joy. Everyone's coming back together. But I realize, and I know a lot of you guys realize this morning, that Christmas can be a good thing, and it can also be a hard thing to go through. It can be a time of coming together as a family, and it can be almost a time of isolation. It's hard. It's hard. Let's talk about our church. This Christmas is a lot different than our normal Christmases, right? It's hard. It's extremely hard. But what we hold on to amongst all of it is the real reason why we celebrate Christmas. It's all about Jesus. Circumstances will always change. A child that only gets a chocolate bar this year may get all the gifts in the world. His circumstances might change from year to year. Our families will change year to year, for the good, and unfortunately sometimes not for the good. But one thing that we can always stand on, one thing that will never change, one thing that will always remain the same is Jesus, the Son of God, came into this world not for himself, but he came into the world for us. So just to recapture this season we're walking in, we're in the season of Advent. We're actually in the last day of Advent. And Advent is a season of anticipation as we wait for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. It begins with a lot of waiting, anticipation, and expectation. It's a time of darkness. So no Jesus, as people are just holding on to the testimonies, holding on to the prophecies of what God has proclaimed through his people to this world, to now, as we know of the story of Jesus Christ, we're moving now, he is here. The light is shone. There's hope, just full hope. The season progresses from darkness to light. The scripture we're going to be reading from this morning specifically will be Luke chapter 2, verses 8 to 14. And I'll just give you a second if you have your Bibles to turn to that. Luke chapter 2, verses 8 to 14. And as you're getting your Bibles, this scripture is probably the most illustrated, read scripture in the Christmas season. So chapter 2, verses 8 to 14. And it says, "And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And the angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. And the angel said to them, 'Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger.' And suddenly there was with an angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased.'"
Yes.
So in the scripture, I'm just going to kind of retell this scripture, and we're going to go verse by verse. And it's not going to take extremely long, because, again, we got to see the rest of the wonderful play. So the angel of the Lord did not appear to kings. He didn't appear, or the angel didn't appear to the rich. The angel didn't appear to the ones with a lot of influence, the popular. The angel appeared to shepherds. And in this time frame of the world, shepherds were viewed as the lowest class in society. So they were looked down upon. They weren't trusted. Many times, as I've studied for this morning, whenever they tried to sell something to someone else, people would not want to do a transaction with them because the ones that were going to receive thought they were stealing. So whatever they received, so if I had a shoe, two pairs of shoes, and I was a shepherd, people wouldn't want to take anything from me because they thought I stole it, and I'm just going to give something stolen to someone else. So they wanted nothing to do with them. They also, their word had no weight. So in the court of law, if they saw something happen and they could go to the court with it, their word meant nothing because they were viewed as liars. So the shepherds were the lowest of low. No one cared for them. They were just not loved by anyone. And the angel of the Lord, so if someone from heaven came and spoke to them. Now, we think about a birth announcement, even with my own children, it's almost like you want to make this lavish, lavish thing. You want to kind of, some people do, when they know the gender of the baby, they do this big party, and they might like pop a balloon, and then it goes pink or blue. And others, yeah, they do it on Facebook. There's cards that's sent out. I was looking, I'm not going to show the YouTube clip, but with the Prince William, his baby boy, Prince George, it's huge. All these people are waiting and celebrating, and you would think the birth of Jesus Christ would be the same way. You would think in our minds. It's the exact opposite. Jesus spoke, or God spoke through his angels to the lowest of lows. And the glory of the Lord shone upon them. And the shepherds were filled with great fear as the angel greeted them. So there's the shepherds. It's late at night. It's dark out. They're doing their job as shepherds. They're taking care of their flock. Their focus is on the sheep. And then this just big light comes. And obviously, I would be scared. There's this big light. Oh, my goodness. And it's an angel. And they were scared. And what does the angel say to them? He says to them, "Don't be afraid, you shepherds, as the glory of the Lord shines around you." He says, "Fear not. I bring you good news of great joy." So what started off as great fear turned into great joy. And I find that very fun because we are in the year of joy. And this joy is a different type of joy. There's joy of, okay, yes, we got joy. But this is great joy. This is jump up and down great joy. This is like the Canucks can win the Stanley Cup kind of joy. Plus 1,000. Like this is joy. This is life-changing. The world will never be the same joy. Anything that you hope for, it may not be the Canucks. I'm sorry if I offended anyone. If it's anything, if it's your son coming home from living the life he is living, or a daughter coming home, that's the type of joy we're talking about. It's life-changing. Nothing will ever be the same type of joy we're talking about. And this message was just not for the shepherds, but it was for all people. And as we know the story of Jesus, as we know that he dies on the cross for us, this story is for all. And it says in verse 11, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord." And we're just going to camp out in here because there's three different titles that Jesus has given in this scripture. So, Savior, who is our Savior? He's our rescuer from our sin. If you've ever sinned, and I'm the first one to say, I have sinned, and actually sinned this morning. And I'll talk about that after. You need a Savior to take away all your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. That's who he is. He is our Savior. Only through Jesus we are saved and set free from our sin. He says to these shepherds, "Don't be afraid. Your Savior has come." It says in Matthew 1, verse 21, it says, "She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." I was reading in a commentary, and I found this very interesting. I never thought about it this way, but it's talking about Eve and Mary. And it says, "As mankind fell through the impulsiveness of the woman, mankind will be redeemed through the obedience of a woman in the supernatural conception of the Messiah by the Holy Spirit." And secondly, he gives Jesus the title of Christ. And who is Christ? Christ is Messiah. He's the anointed one. He's the fulfillment of promise that has been spoken about in the Old Testament. The one who has been long predicted, long awaited. This is Christ. And who is Lord? He is the one that defeats our enemies. He is the Lord of the universe. It says in Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7, and this is way long before Jesus came into human form. This is what they prophesied. "He's wonderful, counselor, mighty God, everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." This is who Jesus is. This is the Jesus that has come into the world for our sins, that we could live a life of eternal life. And verse 12 of Luke 2, it says, "And this will be a sign for you. The Lord is going to show a sign supporting the fact that he is Savior, Messiah, and that there is great joy, and therefore there's no need to be afraid anymore." In that same verse, it says, "You will find a baby." The shepherds are hearing this from the angel. "You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." So I would think, I know we've read this, if you have a church background and you've been coming to church for who knows how long, you kind of just read over this like, yeah, that's great. Jesus is born. Awesome. But, there's a big but, as I read this again and as I am just leaning on my own experiences in this world. My family has, on the property they live on, they rent the space that they live, the landlords rent space for horses to be on their property. And I come from, my mom did a lot of my kind of bringing me up as a man. she made me a very clean, clean person. And like she actually kicked me out of the house because my room was such a mess. Like she's pretty like, yeah. Yeah, like I actually slept in my car one night. Like that's how like, I was like, oh, I don't know where to go. But I love her to death. That's not in a mean way at all. But I'm just saying that's how intense she is when it comes to being clean. So the manger isn't a clean place. And as I go sometimes to my family's house and go into that space, it's like, ew, like I'm stepping in this mud and it's gross and it smells and there's flies and there's the horses and then they're starting to having to relieve themselves. Like, hey, that's gross. And there's just a lot going on. There's a lot going on. And Jesus is born in that space, which is just like, again, you question, like, but he's the Lord of all. He's the Savior of the world. He's the King of Kings. And I wish I had more time because the study that I did this week was very fascinating. But long story short, it's not by accident that he wasn't in the inn. There wasn't a castle for Jesus to be born in. It wasn't a mistake that the inn was filled. There was no capacity for them. It wasn't by mistake that he was born in a manger, in a trough. Because the Lord has a plan. He has a plan that we cannot comprehend. That's probably the hardest part. We can't comprehend it. It doesn't make sense to us, but he has a plan. And I'm going to explain some of his plan in the scripture. So it's smelly, it's messy, it's dirty. And as soon as the message is complete, as soon as the angels have said, don't be afraid to the shepherds, there's great joy, you've got a Savior, a sign that this Lord Messiah Savior is lying as low as he can be in a manger, suddenly thousands and thousands of angels come into that space where the shepherds are. And they say, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those whom he is pleased. And who is he pleased with? That's probably my biggest question today. In Luke chapter 10, verses 21, this is where it comes from. And it says, in that same hour, he rejoiced in the Holy Spirit and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. In another translation, it says, for thus it was pleasing before God. So it says, he's hidden the kingdom of God, like just that realm of who God is, from the wise and the understanding, like the fleshly wise and the understanding, and he's revealed it to the little children. Now, as you understand, as if you've walked in Christian circles, little children are connected to big faith, right? So he's pleased with the ones who have big faith. He's pleased with the ones that put their faith and their trust in God, even in the hardest of times. That's who he is pleased with. And this is not a condemning thing. It's actually invitation. He's pleased with you, even if you have, I don't want to just say big faith. I think little faith is better than no faith at all. As we read in the scripture, a mustard seed, that small of a faith grows to be something quite big. So the shepherds, those shepherds types, he's happy, he's pleased with those ones, the lowly, the ones who he chooses to boast in the Lord. He is pleased with the ones who put their faith in him through the hard times and the good times. Now, as I close for this morning, something very funny happened this morning. Extremely happy. Made me happy at the end of it. So yesterday, as Pastor Randy spoke about, we had a church potluck. And again, Dominic, if you don't know Dominic, he's been probably since September or maybe before then. He's been doing ever so often. He's opening the church for anyone, really, that wants to come have a meal, wants to come just connect with others, and just have Jesus come and show up. And he's just been doing little, very productive, just little gatherings over the last couple months. And then yesterday, as Pastor Randy alluded to, we had our church potluck. And if you've been coming to Cloverdale Christian Fellowship for a long time, the potluck is a staple in our church. So it was fun. It was what Dominic has been doing and the ministry that he's kind of brought back to life at Cloverdale Christian Fellowship. And then we had what we do all the time, a church potluck. And it was good. We were right in this area, lots of food. I was actually quite impressed with the food. I was like, man, so good. But like any other party, it's easy to set up. It's hard to tear down and clean up, right? It's just any party. Right? I mean, it doesn't have to be church. It could be at home. Like, it's easy to make it all pretty, but then leave, oh, man, I got to do all these dishes. I got to put this stuff away. Oh, I got to fold this. I got to fold that. So I had to come this morning. We do the first service. I was expecting there to be, you know, a couple things left out, but there was quite a few things left out. And I was like, and this is where the sin comes in. It's not like, yeah. My heart went very fleshly. And in my mind, I'm like, ugh, you guys, like, seriously, like, why would you do this to me? Now I'm going to be behind. I came here at 8:15, and I got to get this stuff sorted. And now I'm just going up and down, bringing stuff up, bringing stuff down, bringing stuff up, bringing stuff down. Got to make this, got to make that, got to clean this, got to clean that. And my heart was not good at all. And I call my wife because I'm like, oh, Amanda, like, what do you want me to do? And she always says, oh, well, we do, whenever I speak, she says, we do it together. We do it together. And she did it together because in that moment, she said, Stefan, watch your heart. And that's all I really needed. And when she said that, I was like, ugh, yeah, watch my heart. And from there, she said, hey, you're speaking today. This might just be something to kind of take your heart away from what you are called to do. And I said, yeah, that's probably right. And I went from there, and I said, Jesus, please forgive me. Forgive me for my heart in this. And as I was cleaning and having a better attitude about it all, I just was reminded of a scripture. And it's in Matthew 20, verses 28. And it says, he came to serve and not to serve. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others, to give his life as a ransom for many. So my whole, everything shifted in that moment. Even with this sermon that I had the opportunity to speak. My heart is to serve others. Jesus came into this world, and from all accounts, we think that Jesus should come as the king, and he is the king, but he should come with the crown and be just, you serve me, because I am the Lord of Lords, King of Kings. But he didn't come that way. He came as low as he could go, in a manger, a stinky manger, a smelly manger, a dirty manger. And when I talk about the big picture that we cannot comprehend, we couldn't comprehend that in the moment. That why is Jesus born in a manger? But when you take a step back and you realize, well, if he can save the shepherds who are the lowest in society, how come he cannot save anyone else in this world? For he cares for every one of us. If he cares for the shepherds, who no one cared for, who their word counted for nothing in this world, and you might feel like you're on that level of a nobody, of nothing, guess what? Jesus came into this world for you. Yeah. And Jesus came, as I looked at it, so you got the angels in heaven who came with the announcement, and then you have way down low, you have these shepherds who are the lowest of the lows. So everyone from the lowest to the highest, that's who Jesus died for. Amen. And that's good news. So this morning, as I just wrap up and we get back to what the girls have for us, if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I invite you to this precious gift that he came into this world not to be served, but to actually serve us, as crazy as that sounds. And if any of this is like, oh man, yeah, maybe I have that much faith, even if it's that much. But I believe with this much faith that God can save me, that God can heal me, that God is Messiah, that he's the anointed one, that he is Lord. I encourage you to come to the front at the end of our service, because there will be people at the front who are trusted and who love Jesus that will love to pray with you. I've learned through my life, I need Jesus. I need Jesus. And I've experienced a lot. I've played professional soccer. So in the world view, I was elite. I was part of the great greats. I was around a lot of people that made a lot of money. But I need Jesus. And my soccer friends need Jesus. And whoever's listening to this message needs Jesus. And whoever's sitting in these seats needs Jesus. Because Jesus came for us. He came for us. This is what we can stand on. And then secondly, as Christians, for the ones who are here, my challenge for you as we go through our Christmas routines, as they call it, is how can you serve the ones who are around you? And if you like to isolate yourself, if you don't have family, how can you serve someone in the community? As Dominic said, hey, maybe take a piece of pie and say, bless you. Have a Merry Christmas. Have a Merry Christmas. So this morning, as I just leave you with this, we receive this morning with great joy, for the Savior, the Messiah, the Lord has been born. So I will pray, and then the girls will come up to end our service today. So Father, I thank you that your plan is greater than we can ever comprehend. But Father, I also thank you that you love us and that you are for us. And I thank you that you brought your Son, you sent your Son into this world to serve us, to be for us, to not be against us. I thank you that your love is for the lowest of lows, for the ones that may not want to even accept you as Christ, that you were brought into this world for them as well. Father, I thank you for this Christmas season. I pray that you will be glorified. I pray that there will be great joy and that we are reminded of who you are and all that you do for us and all that you are going to do moving forward through us. We bless you and we thank you in Jesus' name.